शेषतम समा एवं त्वयि नान्यतोस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे आसुर्यनामते लोका तमसा व्रता तांस्ते प्रेत्या विगच्छन्ति एके चात्मनाम अनेज
pains. Is it like that? They say it's body massage. Right now, I saw an ad in the train which says, "Kuch ghanton mein wapas idhar hi aana hai." That means if you get a place to sit, you may not get a place to sit next time. Or if you don't have a place to sit, don't worry, you may get a place to sit next time. So this is how even useless and ordinary things become philosophized. What else? One is cigarette. Prabhupada's example is you smoke, there is fire, smoke comes out, and still the cigarette is called cool. How can that be like that? What is nature's example of somebody who is actually undergoing suffering but thinks it's enjoyment? Yes. You don't know. Okay. Camel. What is the example of a camel? So he's tasting his own blood. Therefore, Prabhupada is saying the culture of vidya is essential for the human being. Prabhupada very carefully uses words like culture. What is culture? Environment. What is culture? Hindi ki kya hai culture? What is culture in Hindi? Culture in Hindi? Sabhyata, Sanskriti. Culture means total transformation. Not a definition, but the idea. You put a little culture of yogurt or dahi in milk, and the whole thing from liquid becomes solid. See, total transformation. You touch a touchstone to any ordinary metal, it becomes gold. Total transformation. Yatha kanchanatam yati kansyam rasa vidhanataha. Tatha diksha vidhanena dvijatvam jayate nirnam. Yatha kanchanatam yati kansyam rasa vidhanataha. The culture here is called rasa. This rasa is not our spiritual humor, but it is mercury. Prabhupada says mercury. Prabhupada calls it mercury. Mercury. So mercury is that rust which, with some formulation, you can make ordinary metal, bell metal into gold. So he says similarly, tatha diksha vidhanena. So diksha is supposed to be total transformation. Dvijatvam jayate, it gives dvijatvam. What does dvijatvam mean? Second birth. It's supposed to give a second birth to an individual. Nirnam. Unrestricted sense enjoyment in this bodily condition is a path of ignorance and death. Then Prabhupada is saying, the living entities are not without spiritual senses. Every living being in its original spiritual form has all the senses which are now materially manifested, being covered by the material body and mind. The activities of the material senses are perverted reflections of the activities of the original spiritual senses. The activities of your hand now are the reflection of the activities of spiritual hand sense organ. This hand may be used to glorify you, write something nonsense, or enjoy sense gratification. That same hand will be used to serve Krishna. In his diseased condition, the spirit soul engages in material activities under the material covering. Real sense enjoyment is possible only when the disease of materialism is removed. In our pure spiritual form, free from all material contamination, real enjoyment of the senses is possible. A patient must regain his health before he can truly enjoy sense pleasure again. If somebody is vomiting all day, you can't give him ice cream and rasgulla and pakoras and sandesh and samosas. Why? He He may start vomiting again. If you give something and his body can't retain it, so he vomits it again. So what he needs is some medicine, maybe barley water, that he can digest. Then he regains his strength. Then he's fit to enjoy nice foodstuffs. Thus the aim of human life should not be to enjoy perverted sense enjoyment, but to cure the material disease. Aggravation of the material disease is no sign of knowledge, but a sign of avidya, ignorance. For good health, a person should not increase his fever from 105 degrees to 107 degrees, but should reduce his temperature to the normal 98.6. That should be the aim of human life. The modern trend of material civilization is to increase the temperature of the feverish material condition, which has reached the point of 107 degrees in the form of atomic energy. Meanwhile, the foolish politicians are crying that at any moment the world may go to hell. Please, help! But who can help? Prabhupada says their crying is compared in Sanskrit. Anyone knows the Sanskrit saying? Rodanti, that is a Sanskrit word. I am saying a Sanskrit saying. Somebody crying without any purpose. Crying of a crocodile. Nakrashru. But that is not correct. Nakrashru is false tears. Laments without any reasoning. That is a sudra. That is not the meaning intended here. Crows and jackals crying for a man. That is duplicity. That is not intended here. Okay. Yova etat gargi sa tejati sa kripana. No, that is not from Garga Upanishad. This is called Aranya Rudan. Crying alone in the forest. If you cry because you want attention, right? I have seen young kids, young boys, they fall down and start walking. But if they fall, and somebody's there, seeing that. So there's attention. So similarly here, the modern politicians, they organize a big conference, peace in the world. Oh, this is a big problem. Oh, that's another big problem. Oh, that's real big problem. But nobody can do anything about it. They're crying any moment the world may go to hell. That is the result of advancement of material knowledge and the neglect of the most important part of life, the culture of spiritual knowledge. It's neglected. Upeksha. Sri Upanishad warns herein that we must not follow this dangerous path leading to death. On the contrary, we must develop the culture of spiritual knowledge so that we may become completely free from the cruel hands of death. In fact, why do scientists do not want to solve the problems of birth, old age, disease, death? Why do they think it is not a big problem? Many reasons, but one important reason. Okay. Yes. Correct. They know they can't. Give me a big hand. Prabhupada said in one lecture, they know they can't solve it. They can't solve disease. They can't solve really old age problem. They can't solve the problem of death. So when you can't solve something like the fox who cannot touch the grapes, what is his conclusion? Maybe they are not sick. So they say, maybe birth is not a big problem. You go to some big scientific forum and say, hey, look, you guys, the real problem is the problem of death. They say, no, that's not a problem. Everybody has to die. Even this fellow died, that fellow died. Like some devotees, I was in Nathdwara and one devotee asked me, how did Krishna die? I said, how can you ask such a question? You don't realize who is. I know, but then some people say no. I say, who some people? What is their other life? Are they devotees? So people take it natural that God also has to die one day. Because their idea of God is a very powerful person, that's all. The idea of a God who is immortal. I say this God is telling you also don't die. What about him? This whole book, 700 verses, is trying to preach to you that don't worry about my dying, I am saying you are also not dying. So they don't know that. So therefore, the culture of spiritual knowledge has to be developed to become completely free from the cruel hands of death. Okay, this does not mean that all activities for the maintenance of the body is to be stopped. There is no question of stopping activities, just as there is no question of wiping out one's temperature. So if 107 is bad, 106 is bad, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 is bad, bring it to zero. That is not recommended. You maintain it at 98.6. There is no question of stopping activities. Oh, to make the best use of a bad bargain is the appropriate expression. See, it comes here again. The culture of spiritual knowledge necessitates the help of the body and mind. What does necessitates mean? Huh? Makes it necessary that the body mind has to be there. So, if you fast, and kill yourself, like some people do. And they say, after this fasting, this person becomes God. So all these famine victims should become God, you know. Dushkal se jo marte hain log, they should all become God. They didn't get any food, they died. Or mind. All these Buddhists must become God, because they have made their mind zero. So body and mind, you can't give them up. Therefore, maintenance of the body and mind is required if we are to reach our goal. The normal temperature should be maintained at 19.6 degrees, and the great citizens and saints of India have attempted to do this by a balanced program of spiritual and material knowledge. They never allow the misuse of human intelligence for disease sense gratification. Human activities diseased by a tendency towards sense gratification have been regulated in the Vedas under the principle of salvation. This system employs religion, economic development, sense gratification and salvation. What it means is, what is the Sanskrit name for this thing Prabhupada is saying under the principles of salvation? Dharmartha ka moksha. Or in one word? Purusha. Purusha, living entity. Artha, goal. So, dharma, artha, kama, moksha is a very valid goal for most. What does dharma mean? Yes. What is saltiness for salt? That is dharma of salt. Okay, now simplify it. Yes, true. Something which cannot be taken away, cannot be separated from something. So that is dharma, or very loosely translated as occupational duty. That's your occupation. Dharma. You do your dharma properly, what do you get? Artha. Artha means money, value. So with the dharma which you are doing, normally when you get some result, you are happy. You eat, your stomach is stopped troubling you, you feel happy. Ah, good. This prasad works. Otherwise, what will happen if you eat and eat and eat, you are not satisfied? In Ayurveda, there is a rog disease called Bhasmya Rog. For those who have Bhasmya Rog, he may eat 45 chapatis. And he still feel, he look as if a hungry wolf. More. Or if somebody has creamy worms in his stomach, after a heavy meal he goes back and still finds no energy left. Because the worms are eating, they are getting fat. So after you do your dharma, you get some artha and you are happy. It works. What do you do with the artha then? Sense gratification. Is it? Fulfill desires. Sometimes virtue. What do you mean sometimes virtue? Because you are rooted in dharma, the artha you get also is a bit pious. So this pious artha, punyavan paisa jo aata hai, that doesn't pollute your mind so much. And you also feel that I should give something in charity. Let me share. Mere ghar mein bahut chapati hai. Like a traditional Vedic householder, 12:30 baja. So he will go out with some chapatis and something, and even if he finds some dog somewhere, some sadhu sitting under a tree, he says, Maharaj, Brahman bhojan ke liye aayenge ghar mein? Aayenge ke nahi? If the sadhu is very magnanimous, he says, yes, I'll come. So we'll give him food, some dakshina, Hare Krishna. So this is how a pious thing will lead to pious money. And it's not that you will give everything to the sadhu. You also will enjoy. But your kaam will be a bit controlled. And after that, when you come to the fourth stage, somebody will say, moksha prapti, moksha prapti. What does moksha mean? If dharma is nice, gives you nice money, that money gives you nice enjoyment, so why stop the process? Hansi Bihari Prabhu. Gaur Govind Prabhu, if dharma is very nice, somebody is doing dharma properly, then he's getting nice artha also, and he's sharing something, he's doing nice kaam also, he's also very happy. He's doing kaam and his mind is calm. Yes. There is no guarantee. This material world is very dangerous. What else? Bad karma, good karma, always gives bad karma. What? Yes, Panditji. Question kya hai? Thoda clock piche karo, aadha ghanta. If dharma is good for someone, artha coming out of that is good. Kaam also is making me calm. Mind is calm because of kaam. So why go for moksha then? It is just the opposite. Are you realizing what the Vedas are telling you? Do one. One will give you understanding how to do two. One plus two will give you three. And go back to zero. So moksha means giving up everything. So, what somebody who would readily give up by the process of knowledge, that everything is asar, 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 for somebody who is attached, he won't give it up so easily. So they say, okay, okay, do it nicely. You want to play? Half an hour homework first, then go and play. So the kid will, okay, do that. You want the ice cream after prasad? Eat your brinjal sabji. Eat karala sabji, you'll get ice cream. So he says, finished. Okay, now bring the ice cream. So, dharma is very painful, bitter. Artha is very nice. Kaam is very nice. But all this is enjoyed with the same material body and mind. So there will be some suffering. But he will be trained up for that suffering. Just like, if I tell you, tomorrow from 11:45 to 12:45 will be a Kung Fu class here. You will say, kal mat jao udhar, marabari hoga udhar. But what if, instead of Brahmachari Ashram, this is a martial art academy. The sixth temple of Shaolin. So instead of sitting here and reading Ishopanishad, we all will be, hey, ho, ah! And there, all the blows and kicks would be seen as part of training. There will be no problem with that. But imagine, training somebody to do yajna and train them, tomorrow, today will be surprise class on Kung Fu. They won't take it. They will carry their commanders and run away. So, the process of giving up sense gratification immediately is not meant for everybody. So the sadhus have subdued the negative points. Slowly, they have restricted. Okay, take it, no problem. Take it regulated. Do according to our regulation. The government doesn't want that 100% of its people become drunkards. That's not their aim. But then why government opens government approved liquor bar? If you say government approved, we should go there, no? Everybody should go there. Government approved. Sarkar manya deshi daru se dukaan. Sarkar manya. Government approved lottery, everything government approved. The idea is they know some rascals will go anywhere. They will take turpentine from some hardware shop and drink it. Don't do that, it's poisonous, you'll die. Like Gujarat typically is a liquor free state. Gujarat mein daru bandi Gandhi ji ke zamane se hai. But still every 5 years you'll have some liquor death tragedy. In some property, 45 people dead. Why? Yesterday night they drank some spurious liquor. So that the government doesn't want. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So, the path of avidya is most perfectly presented in Srimad Bhagavatam, which directs a human being to utilize his life to inquire into the absolute truth. The absolute truth is realized step by step as Brahman, Paramatma and finally Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. The absolute truth is realized by the broad-minded man who has attained knowledge and detachment by following the 18 principles of the Gita described in the purport of Mantra 10. So last mantra mein jo 10 items the, 18 items hai, these 18 items are actually avidya. The central purpose of these 18 principles is the attainment of transcendental devotional service to the personality of Godhead. Therefore, all classes of men are encouraged to learn the art of devotion service to the Lord. The guaranteed path to the aim of Vidya is described by Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu. I have wrote down his main points, we can fill it up. Which we have presented in English as the nectar of devotion. The culture of Vidya is summarized in Bhagavatam 1-14. Tasmadekena manasa bhagavan satatam pati shotavya kirtitavyascha. Therefore, with one-pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember and worship. And worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. Unless religion, economic development and sense gratification aim towards the attainment of devotional service to the Lord, they are also simply different forms of nescience, as Ishopanishad indicates in the following mantras. Computer bar bar hang ho raha hai mera. Any questions about this purport? Yes.
Dharma artha kam moksha. So what is the, how do devotees understand that moksha? Moksha means that impersonal moksha, which Mayavadis think, or what is the concept of that moksha?
See, liberation basically means liberation from the material atmosphere. If this room is a material world and there is a big stench, bad smell coming, or the room is on fire, so all of us run out. Some may be successful, some may be not. Those who are not successful, they have to be born again in this material world. But those who are out, they are liberated. What do they do when they get out? If after getting out of this room, you are invited to a big feast, then you may say that is real liberation. Or if you are just loitering in the streets, you're not exactly happy, but you're not unhappy also. At least you're out of danger. So liberation basically means out of body at this birth, old age, this is death. Or Sudama Prabhu says, birth, old age, this is an Yamaraj. B-O-D-Y. Body. You know this? So,
following this four process, if he is a devotee, means for him it is going back to Krishna?
For a devotee, devotee of whom?
He is devotee of Krishna, means it is...
If devotee of Vishnu Tattva, that means you go where your Lord is.
That is broadly said as moksha. But while referring it is said as moksha.
So even we are also moksharthis. From that point of view. But our liberation is considered to be a final liberation. There is absolutely no doubt somebody comes down. But other liberations, Sayujya, Sarashti, Samipya, Salokya, Samipya. Sayujya, the bad one. Salokya, Samipya, Sarashti, Sarupya. So, Sayujya, Vaishnavas don't accept Sayujya as liberation at all. That's demoniac. Just like, you know, some people don't feel bad, but there are some exams where, some colleges where only 99 and above are accepted. And there you may find somebody who is only 38%. Only ye kaise aa gaya idhar? Hamare baaju mein baitha hai. This is how some monists feel, that when they have, after strict brahmacharya, strict penance, tapasya, they get liberation, and then they find somebody who was a demon sitting next to them. Well, how did you get liberation? Well, I'm Haridwar Math mein tha, 12 saal tapasya kiya. Demon mein se hum khali jhagda kiya bhagwan ke saath bas. So that's the value of that. Just imagine how bad you'll feel if you go to some place after a long journey, tremendous trouble, big cost, and someone comes there free of charge. You feel frustrated. So Vaishnava asks that if this liberation can be attained by being a demon or enemy of Krishna, ye jhanjhare padne ki zarurat kya hai fir? Enjoy life here. Become a good enemy, top enemy. Krishna comes and kills you. So you're liberated. So what is the value of that liberation? Suddenly devotees don't aim for that liberation. So loosely it is used as liberation, but otherwise, when it comes to something concrete, Prabhupada explains what it means. Just a moment, here are some notes by Prabhupada. Prabhupada saying avidya. Advancement of material technical knowledge means advancement of Maya's jurisdiction. The more you become implicated in material knowledge, entangled, less you can understand Krishna consciousness. People who are supposed to be very advanced in material knowledge think, what is this Krishna consciousness movement? They have no attraction. Just like Indian boys, sometimes they come here, means to America, to learn technology. Sometimes they question, they have rejected these things and they have come here to learn technology. So when they see that Swamiji has introduced the things they have rejected in India, they are surprised. India rejects Vidya for Avidya. So I also came for the same purpose, because modern India has rejected spiritual knowledge. They think that if they can imitate Western technology, then they will be happy. This is Maya. They do not see that those who are advanced 300 times more than us in technology have nothing. They do not see that. India cannot advance in technology like America or Europe, at least for another 300 years. Because in these Western countries, they have undertaken this business for a very long time. He said he was in some place in 1970, and in India there was a technology fair. And he said, Prabhupada, what they were showing? Some sewing machine. Prabhupada, this came in America in the 1880s. And in 1980s they are showing that advancement of Indian technology, sewing machine. He said, how can they be advanced? That is not for India.
You were explaining of dharma as regulated, you know, sense gratification, as prescribed. But what we had understood is, dharma means a person does a sacrifice. He's actually sacrificing something. And then he comes to the knowledge that for whom he is doing it. then he advances. So,
no, I didn't get it. Dharma means something somebody sacrifices.
No, dharma speaks of sacrifice, means doing for whom. So initially a person is doing sense gratification, he does not know for whom. So he may do unregulated, kaise bhi sense gratification karega wo. But later, when he comes to know that the scriptures speak of something higher, for whom I have to do this. So there is a question of sacrifice. So are they both same? Regulated sense gratification, is it same as sacrificing something? Because I'm eating karela, for whom? You know, I'm doing some austerity to enjoy something. So this sacrifice is for somebody. So then he comes to the knowledge, or by regulated sense gratification he comes to knowledge?
Knowledge is like a indirect benefit. See, for example, the government may have a tax system. What is the purpose of tax system? That you are earning something, you should help us, ideally speaking. So if somebody is paying his tax, like they say, the salaried people, they are the most loyal taxpayers. Why? They have no control. Salary aadmi tax karne ke baad hi aata hai. They are very honest taxpayers because there is no chance they can evade the tax. But for businessmen, they use every legal, illegal channel to evade the tax. Now somebody may be paying the tax, but you say, so you like the government very much? He says, hey, I don't like them, and I pay it. Just because wo jhanjat nahi chahiye, ye le lo jo bhi hai, aram. So similarly, somebody may be doing his pujas, somebody may be taking care of his children, doing something in charity. Because he feels, agar ye nahi karega, to ye kalang lagega. People will say he's a very dishonest person. So you love Krishna because your name of your company is Krishna Exports. He said, no. Aisa hi naam de diya, wo mera sister ka naam tha. So for them, like some of our devotees who went to Hong Kong, they went to an Indian business building and all the names were Murli Chemicals, Krishna Exports. They said, haan, ye devotee hoga ye. So when they went to that senior gentleman, he was far from, you know, anything to do with Krishna. So one who is knowingly doing that, even that four anas is putting in the hundi, is going towards worshipping Krishna, that's a very enlightened person. So that enlightenment comes when Paramatma inside speaks and the Guru outside also says. So he echoes it. So naturally you will feel an attraction for hearing about God. Like somebody who is paying his tax, I am going to say, somebody who is paying his tax. But there is a discussion on how India's democracy works. They say, bad mein kya democracy works. Leave us alone. I'll pay you something, but leave me alone. So there are people whom you say, there's a nice katha going on here. Would like to say here some nice bhajan. Kitna donation chahiye ho? Ye 100 rupaye lo bhai sab. Hare Krishna. Agle saal aa jao, Swami ji. That attraction is not there. So Srimad Bhagavatam, since it's the topmost scripture, doesn't aim at sacrifice. It always aims at that attraction. No utpadayed ratim yadi. Dharma swanushchita pumsa vishvaksena kathasuya na utpadayed. Your dharma swa anushchita, you're doing a very rigid form of occupational duties. You're a very, very loyal person. But your loyalty doesn't generate any love for the employer. Shrama evai kevalam, just empty labor. You don't say that in the beginning. Like somebody is doing his KG and you say, if you don't pass SSC with 80%, everything is useless, okay? You say, give him some time. Somebody may not pass also. Somebody may be a very studious person in his KG, first, second, third, fourth, then suddenly becomes a truant boy, somehow loses his grades. That's a hota hai. But that doesn't mean right from the beginning you blast him. Like a father who told his son that better don't fail in the exam. No, I'll try to pass. No, I saw the whole year you are not studying anything. But then I somehow managed, I studied, cleared all chapters. If you fail, and suddenly the father becomes hysterical, he grabs his neck and gives him a slap. He says, why are you slapping me now? He says, what do you if I slap you after you fail? I'm slapping you before. The Vedas don't take that kind of thing. Unless something has happened, they don't give you the punishment. But they warn you. But this warning also is like staggered, like a staircase. So one who has no attraction, one who is doing, imagine, one who is doing antisocial activities. For him to become a good gentleman citizen is a big thing. But for him to join the army and give his life for his country is like a very tall order. Isn't it? So for somebody who says, Bharat Mata khatre mein hai, he says, Mummy, Papa, I am going to the front. So that means there is a burning passion in him. So sacrifice is like the sacrifice of a person, you know, let me die, no problem. That's the pure devotee. He doesn't care for the glory, doesn't want any statues or name plates made after him. But others who may say, okay, we'll give something for the soldiers' fund, but don't call us there. They are the typical dharmartha kam mokshavadi. They are better than those who betray the country. Isn't it? Those who sell state secrets or those who are war deserters, they are much better than them. So whenever this is better, that is better, you should understand what context it is said. So at least we'll read the mantra. There are comparable karma over here. Read the next mantra, chant it. 12.
Upasate tato bhuya ivate tamo yau sambhutya yam gamsrata.
Yau sambhutyam mrataha.
Oh, actually,
here you chant like we do. When you are in Mayapur, in your temple there, you chant like this, gum and gum. Tum vidya ko avidya karta hai, aur mere ko sikhata hai gum karne ka. Jo seedha seedha hai, wo tum pehle hi chalu karo tha.
Those who are engaged in the worship of demigods enter into the darkest region of ignorance, and still more so do the worshippers of the impersonal absolute.
Now this meaning you don't find any other Ishopanishad. They just say that those who are independent, they go here, and those who are dependent, they go there. God independent. So sambhuti and asambhuti. What is the meaning of asambhuti? Asambhuti usme hai. Don't just say demigods. Asambhuti means no independent existence. Sambhuti, he depends on his own existence. That's how it is understood. That we'll see tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Kuch fruit hai kya? What is the fruit of devotional service?